The time has finally come where we can talk about the Justice League.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's post-Thanksgiving here at the Nerdy Rats. And let's get into it. Hey, welcome everybody to the Nerdy Rat. It is Wednesday, November the 29th.
2017.
I'm Liz. Yes, I'm Matt.
And this is the Nerdy Rat.
Nerdy Rat. We talk about rats and
local animal news movies, and then basically. Nerdy stuff.
We're basically a movie review channel.
Sometimes TV shows. Let's be
sometimes,
fair.
Yeah. If it's The Flash.
That's right. Or other Marvel TV shows.
Yeah, well, we have an episode of The Flash to watch.
Oh, yeah. All right. But first, we'll do our podcast. So here we go.
So,
going to start out
we got some updates on our own rats. Not our own rats, our foster rats. We now have two sets of rats.
Yep.
And,
I think we talked about the girls last week, right?
I know we've talked about the girls. I'm pretty sure.
So we have this trio of three pink-eyed whites, and the one of them is a very chompy girl. She's like that Mario chain thing that chomps on you. I think it's called a chomp, right?
Chomp chomp.
Yeah. Well, she's like a chomp chomp because she does it to be sweet, actually. I have discovered she's not a mean girl. But she likes to show her affection by biting you really hard.
I think partially because she seems to have cataracts and be very blind. So
yeah.
I think she may kind of explore the world with her mouth a little bit too.
That's possible. Yeah, that's definitely possible. Like she just does it because she thinks that's what you do when you don't have eyes.
But they're all very sweet rats.
They really are.
I think to a good home they would. I think. So somebody would really love them.
I think so too, but I think it needs to be a person who's really comfortable with getting bit by a rat. Like she's never broken my skin. I will say that she's never broken the skin, but she can bite really hard sometimes. But I love her. Like I don't really mind because I love her so much.
She's one of those rats that and some of them seem to develop that habit. And it just it's usually they like I had one Hannah a long time ago. And she would do it and she would always bite you the first time that you would like pick her up, interact with her. And then after that, she wouldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
Like once you had her,
right.
She wouldn't continually bite you.
Right.
It was just like, she wasn't sure where you're like what you were doing. When you first try to pick her up, she would sometimes bite.
Well, see, I've been looking for a pattern with Nova, and what I finally figured out is that I think it's affection, because at first I was like, well, is it because she doesn't see me in the cage? And then I realized, no, she sees me, or she knows I'm there. Like, she'll still do it even when she knows I'm there. But it's, well, what I really discovered, too, is when she did it in the chair, because I was snuggling with them in the bonding pouch, and they like to get out and explore and crawl around the chair while I'm sitting in it. She chomped me on the side of my stomach just to say, I love you, mommy. She's like, oh, hello, mommy. I love you. And I was like, Nova, that is not how we give kisses.
Yeah, I really think it is her more exploring than
I think so, too. She's
anything else.
She's being sweet and she's exploring. Because as soon as I picked her up, she looked at me with that sweet little face. She's like, hello, mommy, I love you. I was just saying I love you. And I was like, well, I love you, too. But that's not how we give kisses.
Yeah. And our other fosters we have.
Now, these I don't think we've talked about yet.
We've got two boys, and they came from a situation where.
I don't know if we should say all the specifics of the situation.
Yeah, didn't we actually talk about this last week or no?
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
But it came out of a situation where the person had to give them up because she couldn't keep them anymore. And I was concerned because one of them seems very thin. And it's when you brush their back on the spine, the one you can feel the hurt, his spine basically. And
yeah,
I'm not
bony.
Sure if it's that they haven't been eating or sometimes rats can be sick where if they have trouble breathing, they can,
and he did have some respiratory
lose weight.
Issues.
Yeah. And we have them on antibiotics for that. So,
and they're very young boys too. They aren't even that old. They're what, like 3 or 4 months old?
That's what we've been told.
Yeah. So they're not that old yet. So he hasn't had that many months in his life to put on a lot of weight. But still, they're...
Well, it concerns
they weigh
me.
Less than they should be.
It concerns me because he's underweight for where he should be.
Exactly.
And I guess we're going to be... Did you weigh him today?
No, I didn't weigh him yet. But what we're going to do is we have a little digital food scale, which is really handy to weigh the rats with. Although you need to like put them in a little Tupperware thing on top of it because they tend to run off before you can get a reading. But we're going to weigh them and just keep weighing them every day to get like a baseline and then see what's going on with them to see if they're putting on weight or
Hopefully they're okay. I was concerned because I wasn't really seeing them eating. And I didn't know if it was anxiety from being in a different cage or getting force-fed medicine every day or what.
Right.
I hope there's nothing medically wrong with them, but we're going
to, we're going to have them checked out by the vet too. Just to see what's going on. Now, did you notice any overgrown teeth when you were doing the medicine?
No, I didn't notice. I need to actually check them.
Yeah. I was trying to check them earlier today. Our rat coordinator for the rescue, Small Angels Rescue, shout out, said, you know, let's check their teeth just to make sure. But you know what? The one is so used to getting his medicine, he wouldn't open his mouth to show me his teeth. He was like, nope, not going to show you my teeth, nope. So we'll have to see. It could be teeth. You know, we're just not sure what it could be. We also think maybe they've only been fed dry rat pellets previously to this. So maybe they're not used to eating like fresh veggies and scrambled eggs and oatmeal and all of that. Although it's pretty delicious. So I don't know. I've never seen a ratty not dive into that. So that's kind of weird.
I was a bit worried. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some animals are not food oriented.
But it's concerning. So we're definitely going to have the vet check them out and we'll keep you updated. We're hoping it works out okay for these little boos. But they've already been adopted by a forever family. You know, assuming all the medical things get resolved. They had somebody who had just adopted two baby girls from the rescue. And she's going to get them spayed. And she's going to get these two boys neutered. And then she's going to do her intros, taking the time like you're supposed to. And then she'll have a little happy, ready family of four.
Yeah, that's good. Sounds like they're going to a good family. So
yeah, and they're so sweet. They're so affectionate.
They are really sweet rats, too.
They've clearly been handled a lot, and they are just very cuddly. The gray one is like a real shoulder ratty, and he's so sweet. They're both so sweet. They got Rex fur. They're curly. They're just so cute.
I had noticed that I realized that our girls didn't have the foster girls didn't have a wheel. So I moved the wheel, one of two wheels that we have in our main cage and gave them one.
Yeah. And now that's become problematic because our ratties really, a couple of them, Baby Groot, Annie and Squeaks, really love the wheels. That's like their territory. Yeah, and we have them like facing each other on the bottom level of a double critter nation. And they like to hang out in there and like, there's been a lot of drama in the cage the last couple of days because there's only one wheel.
Yeah, I've noticed that like rats either like wheels or don't. And you kind of have to like, if you have a couple of rats and you offer them a wheel and they never use it, after like a couple of weeks, you might just be fine. Like I wouldn't have a problem with taking it out of the cage, but I always like to at least give them that option for a while to make sure, see if it's something that they want.
Because it's good exercise for them if they want to use it.
It's good. And the ones that don't use it always end up chubby.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly. Yeah. Because you do notice Annie and Squeaks are a lot slimmer than Baby Groot because when Baby Groot uses the wheel, she just likes to hang out in the wheel. But Annie and Squeaks actually like to run on the wheel. Yeah. So we've been having a lot of drama. We have to order another wheel. Our favorite kind of wheel that we use is called a Wodent wheel. And you can get it from exoticnutrition.com. And we have the 11-inch one. So we have to order another one. And actually, we have one that's broken in that we lost the connecting pieces. It's not really broken. The pieces.
I didn't lose them. My previous rats chewed them up.
I see.
And then I lost the pen, I think.
I see.
But
you
can order just the hardware from the website. They have like a minimum $8 shipping fee or something.
So we want to order a bunch of stuff at once. So we're going
to
order like another Wodent wheel so we can have one for the second foster cage. And then we'll get like several sets of hardware because that's inexpensive and in case it breaks.
Yeah, and if you do order them, I would recommend ordering at least one extra set of hardware whenever you order one of these. these wheels, because if you keep rats for long enough, you will need it eventually.
Well, because what happens, this kind of wheel, it's like a long plastic strip and it comes apart when you want to wash it. And it has like a little plastic sleeve and a pin that keeps it together. And if you lose the sleeve or the pin, like it's very easy when you're washing it.
Just be careful with it when you take it apart to clean it, that you put those small parts in a place where you can find them.
Exactly.
I haven't really had a problem with losing it. It's, like I said, the rats will chew them up.
Yeah.
And destroy the main connector between the two.
Well, and then also the issue is because the shipping cost is so high, and we haven't been able to find the connector parts like on Amazon. Like, I think you can find some different sizes of the woven wheel.
I don't think there's a lot of
Amazon
places that sell them. Like, getting the woven wheels off Amazon is tricky at best.
Yeah, and they don't sell the hardware on Amazon.
Amazon doesn't sell it specifically. It's always through
one of the vendors. Yeah. So anyway, Exotic Nutrition is the best site we've found, and but, you know, you don't want to have to pay $8 for shipping for like a $2 or $3 hardware kit, you know. So
I've done it before, though, because those wheels are
kind of expensive, but they're worth it.
But
I
ordered
them.
Like two at the same time. They also make them, they make smaller sizes for hamsters, too.
Oh, okay.
Which is perfect for hamsters, I found.
Yeah. So
I have a small one of it, actually, that we had.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, yeah. I knew we had a small one. I didn't know it was a woden wheel.
Yeah, it's the same manufacturer.
And by the way, we are saying woden wheel with a W. We're not mispronouncing it.
We're not Elmer Fudd.
That's the actual name of it. So we'll have a link for that on our show notes. But, you know, we like it, and we got to place an order. So that's just our advice. Try to place a big order so you don't have to pay too much for shipping. Spread it out.
Yeah, and definitely. Yeah, I like having, I always want to have that available for rats because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's good for them to have the option
I've
to exercise
them. I've said
this
before, but like you can't always. You're not going to be able to get your rats out every single day.
Exactly.
I would like to, but, you know.
Well, and I have the issue, too, is that I snuggle my heart rat Toro every day, almost every day. Not quite every day, but almost every day. And I'll snuggle whoever else is awake and wants to snuggle. But the problem is they're not always awake and in the snuggling mood when I am. Like, sometimes it's usually only two or three other rats that want to come out with him and snuggle at the time when I'm home from work in the evening and, you know, here to snuggle. So they're not all getting out every single day because we don't force them to if they're like sleeping in the hammock or something, you know.
Yeah. So that's always good.
Yeah.
So you put down more. We have an update on the local eagles here.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes. There's a new video of the nest building. Although I have to say, this nest building video was cute, but I like the one we posted last week better. So I mean, it was cute though, because both of them are in the nest this time and they're both just like tidying it up.
So
and,
when do they normally have their chicks?
Babies?
Yeah,
I'm thinking
like I guess it must be in spring.
I don't know, because remember they had the babies when there was the snowstorm last year and they were sitting on the eggs in the snowstorm, so I'm not really sure when they have the babies, to be honest with you.
Wasn't that like February, March?
Yeah, so the eggs would have been in February or March.
Yeah, so that's basically spring. But
no, that's winter, spring. Late winter.
Late winter.
So I don't know, but they're apparently getting ready because they're being very diligent to build the nest, and that's exciting. So anyway, it is still a cute video. It's cool, I think, because they're both in it, and like there's some nice like zoom in close ups where you can really see them at work. So. But I really like the one from the last show where, like, the daddy eagle was like, look, I got a branch. And he was, like, being so cute. So.
It's like a 4-minute long. So it's like a combination of a bunch of different shots, I guess.
Yeah. Although it's a continuous stream this time, I think. But it's they do zoom in at one point on the eagles. So. And then in other local animal news, one of our little pandas at the National Zoo, Bebe, who is the baby panda, but he's a toddler right now. So he's been weaned from his mom and he lives by himself now, but he's maybe like a year and a half or 2 years old. He had a little stomach issue. It was backed up and it was actually kind of gross. It was a mucus stool, but he passed it and he's okay now. Mm. They were really worried about him. I'm maybe not really worried is not a good word. They said that all of his signs looked like that's what it was. And then he ended up passing it, but he still didn't seem too good the next day. So they did an exam on him, but he's perfectly fine. Everything's fine.
So the zookeepers are basically overprotective parents. Maybe they're a helicopter bit. Parents.
Well, that's all right, though. For baby panda bears, I'm okay with that. Because pandas are endangered and, you know, we have to take good care of our little baby panda bears. But, yeah. But, you know, they wanted to make sure that nothing else was going on and that, you know, everything was okay. So they think he was just probably a little nauseous from the day after.
Yeah.
But he is doing okay now. So that's good. We're and pleased.
We had some sad news this week.
Yes.
We lost Fibs.
I know.
Marty Mousehouse.
I know.
He was the last one of their group that was still around. And he passed on very suddenly, apparently.
Yeah, because like he had been hanging out and they had been still taking his little photo shoots. And they said he was almost three. Yeah, that is very
But I think
old.
You can kind of tell in the recent pictures he was starting to look like an elderly.
He was. Rat. He was looking like an old man. Very. But I guess they weren't expecting him to just suddenly up and pass because he apparently had enough energy and stuff before that. So he didn't seem like when they
get to that age, things can go
suddenly wrong.
I don't know, that's kind of better because I've had rats where they just slowly deteriorate over time. That's terrible.
And then you know, and then you have to make the decision then to put them down, and that's
I'm kind of the opinion of now it's like if they seem to be suffering, I would rather have them put to sleep humanely than I've had ones where I didn't do that and they were clearly suffering and
that's not good, babe. Oh yeah. No, I can't handle that personally. Yeah, I just can't handle that. So yeah, I would always.
It's always a tough choice, though. I wouldn't.
It's tough because it hurts us as the humans, I think, to have to let them go and to make the decision that, you know.
Yeah, it's not an easy choice.
No.
Either way you go.
No, it's not never an easy choice. And yeah, I just think. But yeah, I'm more of the put them down opinion because I can't stand to see them suffering. And I kind of feel like that's the role I take on as their human owner, is to take that pain on me.
Yeah.
Because I lose them sooner.
I think it's once they can't. Once they're not going to have a good quality of life, it's time to help them pass on. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough
on.
Sadness.
That's too sad. I know. Let's move on to the nerdy stuff.
Let's move on to some nerdy, depressing stuff. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So, Marvel Heroes, if you're not aware, was a action RPG based in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. And you could play basically a Diablo-style game where it's like the overhead top-down view where you control, and it was online. It was free to play.
Mm-hmm.
There was like 60 some different heroes you could play. You could play a Squirrel Girl, all the X-Men, Fantastic Four, Captain Marvel,
Nick Fury,
Spider-Man,
right?
Nick Fury, Ultron.
Yeah.
And
just
I
basically lots of minor characters that from the actual comics.
It was huge. And it was a great game, and I put 2,000 hours into this game.
Mm-hmm. I know you loved it
back in its heyday.
Yeah, before they messed it up.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
and I made like a ranty YouTube video like 9 months ago about all the changes that they had made and how it wasn't going in a good direction.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, they announced that the game was going to be canceled, and they said originally that the servers were going to be up till December 31st, and then it was going to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few days later, they announced, nope, it's going to be shut down in like 3 days.
And they laid off all the employees
the day before Thanksgiving. Yeah, the day before Thanksgiving, they laid off all
of gazillion. Guess what, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving. You're all fired.
Yeah, and this game that people have put hours and hours into is now just gone.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it was online only, too. So it's not like you can go back and play a copy of the game that you have saved on your computer.
Mm.
When it's shut down, that's it. It's gone.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's
from
difficult.
from a game preservation point of view, it's really bad. And this is kind of the problem with online games in general.
Right.
Like, when the company goes out of business, you know, they don't make that server code available. Mm-hmm. The game's just gone. The only record of that game that exists will be like YouTube videos that people made and stuff like that.
Right.
And it was such a fun game too. And it sounds like basically Marvel was just not happy with how it was performing and shut them down.
Wasn't that one where the CEO got fired? because he was harassing people, or was that not Marvel Heroes?
Well, part of the this has been a lot of speculation on this end, on like people's speculating, but
didn't that happen though? So that he got fired?
No one got fired. So David Brevik was the original CEO of the company, and he was actually kind of the godfather of Diablo. He was the one who came up with the original idea, and he was, I think he really made the game great. And he moved on about a year ago to other projects, and he left the company.
Oh, okay.
He didn't specify why, but he was basically, and the person who took over apparently is this real scumbag guy who may or like more than likely is like a sexual predator, and there's a lot of shade.
Was he accused of it?
By his ex-wife. I'm not going to go into the details, but yeah, it sounded like it. Nobody really, from the word, from like reading like the reviews of the company and stuff, a lot of people were not happy with this guy, and they couldn't really get rid of him because he was in charge of the money or something like that. And basically, like, since Brevik left, like, I don't think any of their gameplay decisions had been very good. Like, I made that whole video complaining about all the changes that they made. And like, it basically, they were trying to put it on the console, and they released it on PlayStation, I think.
Oh, really?
And they were like basically like cutting the game down, trying to get it to work, I think, on the console.
Oh.
And basically all the people that had been playing it for like 2 years and had spent hundreds of dollars on it, they were, they gave us nothing to do. They gave us no new content. They made all these changes that basically made the game worse. And it had just been on the decline. And I think Marvel finally had enough with them and just said, we're canceling this contract. It's done. So, yeah. And I mean, like, the game was, it was never super, like, I think it was kind of like an underground game because, like, you'd often see, like, I think in its heyday, at its peak, it maybe had, like, 20,000 people playing it. And
now, you'd compare average, that for me to, like, World of Warcraft. How many play World of Warcraft?
Millions.
Oh, okay. But, so that is kind of small then.
Yeah,
okay.
It's small.
Gotcha. But, small but fervent.
But there was
group.
A bunch of, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of us. Like, I bought the $200 Ultimate Pack before it even came out because I was so excited about it. And there was a lot of people that played it. I had friends that played it, you know, that I met playing that game.
Right.
And, you know, all of them left a year ago when they made when they released this update, and it's just, it's kind of like the game died a year ago, and this is finally
because
shutting.
They basically destroyed it.
Marvel is basically, or Disney has just finally stepped in and shut them down.
Yeah,
which
that is
but it's so sad that like all that content, all that work that people put into it over the years is just gone forever.
Yeah, well, and I think it's horrible too that they laid everybody off, and they laid them all off the day before Thanksgiving, and like apparently, you know, they're canceling their health insurance, of course, and just all this crap. Like, that's a horrible thing.
That's kind of the nature of that business because
that's
game companies
horrible.
Shut down all the time. And now with everything being online, it's so.
Yeah, it's very risky.
So, yeah, and people have a tendency to like.
Risky employment.
Like gamers will jump from game to game. Like, they may play your game for a couple of months.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then they all leave.
Yeah.
And if you don't actually keep your dedicated players happy,
right,
you're gonna fail, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
they were more worried about trying to attract people, and they failed at attracting new people, and at the same time basically turned all their existing fans off to the game.
Exactly. Yeah, so
I'm definitely gonna miss it, like even in even in its state at launch, I still think like there's a lot of great content there for people to play, which I wasn't really interested in because I had played it all, but
exactly
for people that never got a chance to play this game, man, it was so good.
It's really sad.
It was similar to a console game
it.
They made for Xbox, but even better. I forget the name of it, but there was a similar game on Xbox, but this was like that with like way, way more content to it.
Well, speaking of non-online games, I was speaking last week about my RPG on Steam, Legionwood, Tale of the Two Swords, and I was stuck because I got to this place where it's a desert and it's a maze, and I couldn't get through it, and I had...
Oh, yeah, that's right, because we were talking about,
you were talking about
solution?
Zelda.
Yeah.
Well, the solution was to Google, which I hadn't done. So I Googled it, and the solution was really easy, and it made me feel pretty dumb because there's like a skeleton in a different side of the screen every screen you go through. So you just walk to the side of the screen that the skeleton is on, and in like 7 or 8 screens you get through it. But you have to walk, you know, to the side that the skeleton is on in order to pass the maze. And so it really was like a clue was there, and I just was not in the mood or not even trying to figure it out. And I was just annoyed with it. So,
it's good that they give you in-game context to be able to figure it out.
That's what I think, too, because I think, oh, that's actually a really well-done game, that it wasn't just like there was no solution and there was no clue.
Games that don't give you what you need to...
Exactly. Those are games. Me too.
I don't even want to play them.
What was that ridiculous one we were watching the video of that was the original Nintendo game?
It was Milan's Secret Castle.
Yeah, that
was
ridiculous.
So dense and so, like, every time I've tried to play that game, like, even though, like, I know a lot of stuff about it, I can never figure it out because I always forget all the little
things about it. Well, right, because that's exactly the problem with that game, is that there is no in-game content to show you how to do stuff, and it's so completely random. And those games aren't fun because it's not strategy. It's not... thinking. It's just like have to know the secrets to get through
that
the game.
Was kind of created in an era where it's like people were still figuring out what a good game mechanic
was. This is original Nintendo we're talking about, so exactly.
And and they would even like sell Nintendo powers that had like all the secrets to it.
Oh yeah, because otherwise you couldn't beat it.
Yeah, back when Nintendo Power was like the magazine.
Everyone
loved it, but it was basically just an advertisement for Nintendo games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was like the secret stuff you needed too. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm glad that Legion 1 is not like that. Yeah. So I am past that little maze and I am into the next section of the game. So I'm back to playing it a little bit. So I'm having fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Justice League.
Yeah, let's talk about what everyone came here to hear us talk about.
Obviously,
the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, I was just kind of like, well, you guys tried. And that's what's really important. You tried.
Well, you know what? For me, at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So
it was a
semi-positive reaction.
It's about what I expected. Like, I had
no expectations.
I said I hoped it would. I thought it was going to be good. I think it was just me being hopeful.
Optimistic, yeah.
That was me trying to be optimistic, but let's be realistic. This is exactly what I expected. And
well, see, I expected that it could actually be much, 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 much worse. So I was pleasantly surprised that it was not as bad as
I would have thought that if it was all Zack Snyder, but after hearing you could definitely see his influence throughout the entire movie. I feel like
I thought that too. Like, I thought, and of course, spoilers, everybody, but I thought like all the little humoristic scenes where they were having like a back and forth and the team was like razzing on each other. I suspect that was Joss Whedon's reshoots.
Yeah,
with
they
his
need
little
way
added
more
dialogue
of that.
In there.
They need way.
Yeah,
they need more story in these movies. They need more background, more info. Like
exactly.
So like, imagine going to see this movie if you knew nothing about the Flash.
Right.
Would you have any idea what was going on in any of Flash's scenes?
Well, wait a minute, because they did say they did have Batman like quote figure out what his power was. He's like, oh, you're fast.
Well, not even that, like the scenes with his dad and stuff, like how do you know what the heck is going on there?
You're
like,
right. I like, didn't think about that because of course we know the Flash.
There's a whole history
of
the Flash.
So
like his father's in jail
for supposedly killing his mother, but his dad didn't actually kill his mother.
But see, we don't actually know if that's the case in this universe. It probably is, but we only know that because we've
watched
the
TV
show.
If
you weren't familiar with the Flash, I think you just see like
you
would come out of the movie going,
scene.
Why was his dad in jail and what was the deal with that?
Why
is that scene in
him?
There? Like,
exactly.
He goes and visits his dad in jail and we get no information about what's going on. And it's like, and he's basically like homeless and he's built the suit himself.
The Flash is homeless. And he's built a suit. Right.
And this is another movie where every good scene was in the trailer.
Yeah.
You could just go back and watch the trailers if you want to know what happens in the movie. Because like the entirety of the scene where we're introduced to...
The Flash.
No, to Aquaman.
But also The Flash. There was another trailer where they do the Flash.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I was talking specifically about Aquaman.
Yeah.
That entire scene is basically one of the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
From start to finish. Like, I know. There's no part in it that in the movie that's not in one of the trailers.
I know.
Same with the Flash intro, which
was
just a short. Yeah, that's
what I was saying, The Flash, too. Yeah, and it's just exactly, like, you shouldn't spoil a movie by putting all that.
I'm not even sure what wasn't in the trailer, because, like...
Well, I think the little humoristic, snappy dialogue wasn't, because I suspect Joss Whedon added that in. That's my suspicion, because I know he got to do some reshoots.
So,
and I think he may have added in a little bit more of that dialogue to make more interpersonal connection, which was necessary. That part was good. I appreciated that part.
Did you notice how odd Superman's face looked in some scenes?
See, I didn't. And then afterwards, I saw that they had digitally removed his
mustache. So apparently...
Why didn't he just shave?
Apparently, DC can't shell out enough money to get... to get the actor to shave for reshoots.
Why did he
apparently
not shave?
He's working on some other movie that he had to have a mustache on, and he couldn't shave it.
Oh.
So they digitally removed it.
But so you know and what? That's a really good clue then for what scenes were the reshoots.
He wasn't in every scene though. Like,
no, but that will show you which scenes he reshot, because it's the ones where he has a removed mustache.
I don't know. It felt like they were kind of trying, but
that's what I said. It wasn't as bad as I thought it could have been. It was fun.
Like, it's fun to watch, but I mean,
it was fun. It wasn't like the world's greatest movie.
It didn't feel like it. I don't know. It just didn't feel like it earned anything in the movie. Like,
no, like, for instance, everything that I liked was built on prior stuff that I knew about the characters, like the Wonder Woman and Batman interactions. I really liked some of those. I thought they were doing a good job. Let me talk. I thought they were doing a good job of developing their romance, and kind of slowly. It kind of reminded me of the Justice League animated series in that sense. But if you hadn't seen the previous movies and you hadn't seen the Justice League animated series, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that you would have had enough background there.
Well, and see, that's the only relationship that they've spent time on investing in to actually get a payout out
of.
So those were the best. Those were the best, like, the most satisfying scenes were the interactions between them.
Right.
But the problem is they're throwing in a bunch of characters that they've put no effort into developing up until this point. Like, Cyborg, we have no clue. Like, the only time we've seen anything else, he was like, we saw him on a table getting turned into Cyborg and in a 5-second clip in the previous film.
And you know, I would have liked a little more interaction between him and his dad.
Like, Aquaman seemed really cool, but again,
we
didn't have any time with him to really learn anything about him. Like, he seems badass, but it's and I think DC's kind of trying to jumpstart their universes without spending the time.
Well, exactly.
To make, like, they need to make more movies like Wonder Woman before they try and make a movie like this. Because, like, you look at, like, a movie like Avengers, like, they spent a ton of movies developing these characters.
Exactly.
So by the time you get to the big battles
team
and stuff,
movie, yeah,
you're invested in these characters.
Exactly.
You're familiar with them. You know what they've been through. You relate to them better. Where in this movie, it's just like they're kind of relying on people's like being
knowledge.
Fans of the DC universe to be like,
exactly,
we know all these details about these characters. But it's like, we don't even know if any of those are true, because, you know, it's a different universe. So but you haven't spent any time telling us, like, what's going on. So,
right.
You know, you made a bet.
No, they totally did it backwards. It was like, this was basically an advertisement for the character's single movie.
It's like,
it was an advertisement for the Aquaman movie, because they didn't even need to have his future wife or whatever, Amber Heard, in this movie. That was completely pointless that she was in this movie. And then she's trying to throw all this backstory in, not her fault, the script's fault, but like, they're throwing in all this backstory, like, oh, your mother raised me and she abandoned you, and what did it? It's your responsibility to take over the throne. And he's like, give me the trident. And it's like, you have no idea what's going on with any of this stuff. And she shouldn't even have been in this movie. Like, that was totally unnecessary. It's just like a commercial for the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, it's like that's all it was. Every character other than Batman and Wonder Woman,
Superman
is exactly the commercial for their movie. It's like it, and you're right. Somebody at work said, I was talking to a friend at work, and he said, you know, the thing that makes these so great are the backgrounds these characters have, the history that they have together.
Right.
That's what makes these things so great. Right. And you don't have any of that with
this.
You know, you're just trying, to skip to the, to the end without like reading any of the story that gets you invested. Well, in the first place.
Right. They did it backwards. They should have done all the individual movies first and then tried to do a Justice League movie.
And like the villain was so forgettable. I almost didn't talk about him because he was Steppenwolf. Like, I mean, I guess he's a major DC villain, but in the comics. Like,
but again, we don't know anything really about him.
The CGI was terrible.
And you know, at first I was hoping, except it couldn't have been, but at first I was like, oh, maybe it's kind of like Hades, because even though Hades was in the Wonder Woman movie, but in the animated Justice League series, the Amazons are guarding the portal to hell, which is where Hades resides, and he's an actual character, you know, and I was like, well, maybe they're just changing his name so that they could use that same idea. But then it turned out that wasn't even it at all. Like, that had nothing to do with the Amazons.
They
spent
zero time developing Steppenwolf as a villain. Yeah. So we had no idea where he came from, what his background why he was doing the thing. Like,
well, I mean, they sort of explained that overarching story of like, oh, the cubes and this and that. Well, like, but it wasn't
They basically just said, oh, he's trying to turn our planet into their planet, which is basically the exact same story from the original Superman movie. Yeah. First off. Second off, what planet are we talking about? I guess they're probably talking about Apocalypse, but we don't know because they never told us.
Yeah.
We don't know, like, because everyone kind of guessed that, thought it was going to be Darkseid in this, but it wasn't. It was Steppenwolf. So, like, is Darkseid going to be a character? We don't know.
Yeah.
And we really have no, they haven't spent any time like building any of this up, so we don't really know much.
Yeah, it was just like you said, it was very forgettable. It was just your generic villain.
And then they come out and they've got Joe Maggiani or whoever his name is at the end come out as Deathstroke, who I had to look that actor up because I didn't recognize him, and it was just like, oh, it's like a generic looking Deathstroke guy, because Deathstroke's been played multiple times at this point. Like, he's in, there's a Deathstroke in the Arrow.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, Deathstroke is just like a really, like, I know that, like, Deadpool is based off Death. Deadpool was a character that was designed to make fun of Deathstroke.
Oh, because see, at first when they brought that up, I forgot for a second that we were in the DC universe. Because I'm like, wait a second, are they trying to have a Deadpool? And I'm like, there's no point in having a Deadpool because
that's the thing.
Ryan,
like,
Reynolds already established the perfect Deadpool character. He looked exactly like Deadpool too.
Yeah, well, Deadpool was made to make fun of Deathstroke, and he became way more popular than Deathstroke ever
was. That's a bad idea. Because basically, after how popular Deadpool is, to like, try to bring Deathstroke in.
Deathstroke is like Deathstroke light. Like,
he's
not,
like, really serious.
He's not funny. Really serious. Yeah. He's got like a healing factor, but it's not as crazy as Deadpool's.
Okay.
He's like strong and like whatever. He's like a boring, every time I've seen
he's like
him,
a boring Deadpool,
he's
basically.
He's a boring character. He's got no personality.
Yeah.
He's like an old, he's a grizzled military guy.
Well, that was the sense I got. Pretty much
and,
like a
and
bland.
They show him, and then they're weak ass version of the joke. Lex Luthor.
Oh, Lex Luthor! I'm mixing everybody up. Yeah, Lex
and
Luthor.
It's like,
it was just,
you know,
I
know they did it to try and get people excited, but there was nothing exciting about any of it. Because he's like, why don't we have a league of our own? It's like,
it was just like, really, are like, we going to have another failed Suicide Squad movie?
Like,
cause
you
that
couldn't
doesn't
even
excite
make
me.
Yeah, like you couldn't.
Based on the failure of the Suicide Squad, I'm not excited that Lex Luthor is going to make another league of villains who we've never met and who we don't care about.
And there's why did they make Suicide Squad? I feel like Suicide Squad was just a waste of energy because none of those characters have shown up again.
Exactly.
Like,
they
spent all this effort, like.
Right.
Like
they
could have spent any
of
that time like work, like giving us background on Cyborg and the Flash, and also
they should have had Amanda Waller in this movie. Amanda Waller is a huge character in the Justice League animated series.
I don't know.
And she was the only good character in Suicide Squad, so I would have liked for her.
They just keep grabbing new characters every time they write a story. They don't bother to spend any time with anybody to give us a chance to get to like anybody.
No, it's not cohesive.
Like Deadshot could have been cool. Like you get Will Smith in this movie, yeah. He could have been interesting. If they had had Deadshot come in at the end, I might actually have gotten excited about that, because that's a character that I'm familiar with now, after seeing Suicide Squad, you know.
Yeah, but I even from Suicide Squad, I got the impression that he was like too tied up with his daughter.
And it's also like
this is
your first exposure to this Deathstroke character,
right?
And he does nothing.
I know
he does nothing.
So
he just he goes and talks to his buddy on a boat.
He looked like a boring Deadpool, and I was just confused. I was like,
because he's wearing the suit, but he doesn't do anything. He just stands there and talks.
Exactly.
Like, that's not how you introduce a character.
No.
Like,
so anyway.
And also, can we talk about the gazelle Flash in this movie?
The
lanky gazelle run that this actor had.
We met somebody coming out of the theater who said he ran like a speed skater. And actually, I agree with that. And I wonder if the guy actually is a speed skater, because like his starting pose with his little arms up and his knees bent and everything, it was just like a speed skater.
Yeah, but it's not the Flash to me, though. He just seemed awkward and lanky for a lot of the movie.
You know what, though? It didn't bother me so much, because I felt like it's not supposed to be the TV character that we all know and love, and he is like a real doofus in the movie, and I thought it didn't bother me that he ran like a doofus.
Well, like I heard some people ask, like, is he supposed to be the comedic relief? I'm like,
I thought he
can be. Like, he's not really,
but he kind of is in the animated series.
He kind of has his moments in the Justice League, because he is kind of one of the less serious characters from the Justice League.
Yeah, he's a very
but he's
silly...
not like he's not like a jokester so
no
much.
No, he's not,
and I don't know, like, yeah,
he's playful, and I would say even in the animated series he's more playful than he is in the TV series. But
yeah, he can get pretty like Grant Gustin can get pretty emo.
Oh yeah, emo, that's just what I was gonna say. So I wanted to talk, too, about the issue with the Amazon's armor, because before we saw in the movie, I saw that a lot of quote feminists, because I'm not sure this is a true issue, as you will see. But a lot of people were outraged that the armor for some of the Amazons in this movie was like a bikini sports bra, as opposed to like the armor that it was in the Wonder Woman movie. Now, my issue was that there should be continuity first and foremost. But you know, you were of the, and I agree with you, the wait and let's see what actually happens opinion.
Well, also the article that I saw, All they were basing everything off of was a single photo of a bunch of the characters in this new outfit.
Yeah, so it wasn't even necessarily people who had seen the movie who were complaining. So we saw the movie,
and they were also implying that the reason it was different was because the director was a guy.
Oh, of course, they weren't just implying; they were outright saying this is what happens when men direct a movie versus women. Like, that was blatant in the article that I read.
Right.
So we went to see it. Now here's what I saw: that a lot of the Amazons had the same armor, full body armor from the Wonder Woman movie. There were two flag bearers who did seem a little bit gratuitous, who were wearing the little bikini sports bra thing. And so that seemed a little gratuitous, but most of them were wearing the same thing. And then in the battle, the archers were wearing it. And I could actually see it making a little bit of sense for the archers, because maybe they need to be more flexible to bend their bows, you know, to pull their arrows and bend their bows.
One thing I noticed
was it was hardly any of them. Most of them were wearing the same thing.
It seemed like the real strong women that were like holding they were in charge of holding the door open so they could get out or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they seemed like the muscle kind of. Uh-huh. So it kind of makes sense. Like when you have like a group of like the old Greeks and stuff, uh-huh. like when they had like the really strong men that would like do that,
yeah.
like they would often wear less than like a soldier on the battlefront who's like sword fighting and stuff, you know?
That's true. Yeah, because I think my issue was that, you know, if you're fighting in battle where you're going to be in hand-to-hand combat, you should be covered with full armor, you know, so that you're not going to get hit. But like I said, the archers, you know, to me, that makes sense because they archers are typically on the farther back anyway because they're shooting the arrows. And like you said, with the traditional Greek stuff, that makes sense, too. I mean, and I don't honestly, and y'all know I'm a feminist, but I honestly don't think it was as big a deal as people were making it.
I think if somebody saw the photo and was like, oh, this will make a saucy story. Let me write this up.
Right. And people, I think a lot of people were judging without seeing the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I think that too.
Well, yeah, because all these articles came out like a week before the movie did.
And most of them, most of the Amazons were wearing the same armor. But, you know, my biggest issue with the Amazon storyline in this was that just like in the Wonder Woman movie, Hippolyta, the queen, lost another friend who got killed on the battlefield. Except in the Wonder Woman movie, it was very impactful because it was Robin Wright, who was the general who had trained Wonder Woman, who was, you know, one of the main characters in the story up until that point. So that really hurt when she got killed. And this time I was like, we've already seen this before. You're copying a scene directly out of the Wonder Woman movie. And it's a new character who we didn't even know anything about. So we had no emotional attachment to her.
Yeah.
So it just, it bothered me. That bothered me probably more than the armor.
Yeah.
Because that was just lazy. That was lazy writing.
Yeah. So... Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the movie?
Nah. Yeah, that pretty much summed it up. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. It was enjoyable, but it certainly wasn't great.
It was
good.
Enjoyable. Please try harder next time.
Yes. Seriously.
But in other Justice League news, I saw this tweet from Greg Miller. He said, I spoken with, I think, one of the actors. She told me if we want a Justice League animated movie with the original cast, we need to let WB know and to tweet at WB Home Int with hashtag JL Reunion.
We better tweet that from the Nerdy Rat Twitter account.
Yeah, I did tweet it from my personal account.
Well, tweet it from the Nerdy Rat.
But,
oh, I would love that. If they had the writers, though. They need the writers from the animated series, not just the actors. Because I love you, actors, but if you don't have the writers, you got nothing to work with.
Well, even Kevin Conroy said he would be.
Yay! I think.
So, I mean, that
would be exciting.
That needs to happen.
If, like I said, caveat, if they have the writers. They need the same writers.
Yeah.
Because the writing was so phenomenal for that Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
It was very nuanced. I mean, Unlimited was very smart because it could introduce brand new characters that like you've never heard of,
right?
And do it in a way where you actually would care about them. Like the question,
exactly.
Like who knew? Like I didn't know who the question was. Who had ever heard of the question? But
they
kept... spent time with him,
exactly.
You got to learn about him and
with each character too. It was like when they introduced a new character, they gave them a whole episode featuring them. So it wasn't like the most of the episode was featuring Superman or Batman. It was like they were the bit players in that episode and the Green Arrow or the Black Canary or whoever it was the main character of that episode.
And you still cared about it because it was a good story that they were telling.
It was a powerful story. You know, like there was some deep stuff that happened in those series.
And they spent money on, like, they got good voice actors to play these characters.
Yeah, they really did. Like, that was just a so high quality two series. It was really nuanced, like you said.
Yeah.
It was very adult and very sophisticated and very complex.
Yeah.
And that's what the live action movies are lacking.
Well, it's what they have to compare to.
Well,
also, because
that
everybody that's a fan of Justice League is going to be comparing them to
that. Of course, because that's the gold standard.
That's your standard now. You have to do better than that if you want to get people to come spend money on your movies.
Yeah. No, well, that would be awesome if they really get the writers and the actors back and they could make a movie. But I would prefer not even just a movie. I'd prefer another series. Just give me a movie. Come on. That's not enough.
I'd like to Netflix. Pick this up.
Yes, Netflix. Oh, that would be awesome.
Pick it up, man.
Or Hulu, since Netflix is doing a lot of the Marvel shows. Hulu could compete with the DC universe.
Yeah, there you go. Hulu.
Yeah, Hulu. Hulu's doing a lot of original series these days.
Yeah.
So that would be awesome. I hope that works.
So one last thing. I wanted to do a Nerdy Rat Consumer Report.
Okay. On
what? We So recently we had been looking for a second seat for my retro room.
So first, explain this. Matt, we've been redoing our house. And we turned Matt's little office room, which is going to be his room, into a retro gaming room.
So yeah, I painted the room and I set up
Nintendo sky blue, from the original Mario series.
I set up all the shelves and I got everything installed. And what I'm using right now in there, I've got a X-Rocker chair. And
it's a gaming chair, so it sits on the floor, so you're low down, and it's padded and leather and very comfortable.
Yeah, and
armrests.
Well, so the one that I have is actually one of the models. I think if you were to buy it new, it's between $150 and $200.
Mm-hmm.
We picked it up at the thrift store for $50.
Right.
Great. Which deal. I almost didn't buy it, but I ended up coming back and getting it.
I'm glad you did. Because
it was really... So we were at Target, and they had an X-Rocker chair there. And
same brand?
Yeah, it was the same brand. And
that's so kind of shocking.
So we had seen it there, and Liz said, why don't we get this chair for the room so that way I have a place to sit when I'm in this room with you? And I was like, okay, yeah, that'll be...
Well, so guys, come on, not just so I have a place to sit, so I could be player two.
Yeah, so
we
could
play together.
Yeah. So I bought this chair, and I bring it home.
Oh, and by the way, it was in a box, so we couldn't see what it actually looked
like. Yeah, they didn't have one
on
display, and we couldn't sit on
it. But it was in a box, and it looked similar.
It's the X-Rocker chair from Target. It's $60, I think. It was $60 or
$70. Yeah, it was like $60 or
$70. Yeah, so it's between $60 and $70.
Yeah.
It's basically the cheapest X-Rocker they make, I guess. And I got it home. I set it up. It's fairly small. And it says it'll hold up to 300 pounds. But I tell you, you sit in this thing and it creaks because it just seems like you're sitting on bare wood.
Yeah, it's not padded very well.
It's covered in felt with what feels like no padding. So it kind of digs into your back.
Exactly. Like you feel the ridges from the construction of the chair digging into you.
Yeah.
It's not padded well enough.
And
when I sat down, I tipped over backwards by mistake. Yeah. But here's why. It's because in Matt's chair, the base of the chair is really well weighted. And it's very large and solid. So it's actually sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
Plus there's armrests. This chair is there's hardly any base to it at all, and the whole chair doesn't even weigh that much. So I tried to just lean back and recline, and the whole chair tipped over backwards.
Yeah.
You have to balance yourself with your legs completely outstretched, keeping your abs tight to keep balanced.
The second time you came in, I was like, well, let me sit in this. You sit in my chair.
Right. Matt was like, we're returning this chair.
This feels horrible. If I sit on this for more than 5 minutes, I'm not going to be able to move.
It was just a terrible chair.
So don't buy the cheap X-Rockers.
Don't buy that one.
They are not comfortable.
Not
at least
all.
This one from Target that we got.
Yeah,
I don't know
Target
if other
one,
models are better.
But
I know
this one sucks.
I think we're probably going to order the more expensive one.
Yeah, or something. We'll keep an eye out if we can find one on the cheap. But
it's kind of a smallish room, so that's why
is.
I
that's
liked this chair for it. Was because
and I liked
you
it
could
too.
Fold it up and stick it in a corner.
Exactly.
But if you can't sit on it, because I like to go in there sometimes, just sit down and relax. It's very you need to have a comfortable chair for that.
Yeah, well, because he's got his record player set up in there, and his
and
music
there are
and
not
too.
A lot of chairs out there that are designed to sit on the floor and be comfortable like that.
No, so it was a nice style, but it just was not well made.
Yeah.
So don't buy that one, people. The higher quality one is very nice. Now they have the speakers and stuff in them too, but our thing is that we don't really want the speakers, and we wouldn't use the speakers. We just want a comfortable chair.
I literally never use.
So I wish they would offer the same model that you have, but without all the speakers, and then it would be
cheaper. Make chairs like that. Without speakers.
Gaming chair. There's so many gamers in the world who would love chairs like that
and
just make it without speakers.
It's so weird that they put speakers in it. Why do you want speakers in your chair? Now, there is a model that has a vibrate function, which is cool.
It's like a rumble box for your game.
Yeah.
So it'll sync up with your game.
Yeah. So
that's
kind of
cool.
Yeah, that's cool. But it's
but
I don't know. Just make a chair. I want a chair that sits on the ground that's comfortable.
Exactly. Growing up, we had it was like a fabric rocking chair, not like your mom's that's wooden, but it was like a completely fabric padded rocking chair. And at some point, the base got broken off of it. And my brother started using it as a gaming chair. And it was the most comfortable thing because it's like you're sitting down on the floor level and you have a nice padded chair to sit in. And it was wonderful. So we need something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but narrow so that it fits in the room.
We'll let you know what we end up getting,
we'll
do a review on that chair.
That's right.
Too,
So, all right. Well, it's time to mention our charities.
Yeah. Well, Extra Life is about done for the year. We've got.
Well, you can always still donate. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to donate to Matt's Extra Life campaign,
I did my marathon. But
that's right. You could watch. Did you YouTube any of it, or was it a live stream that's not recorded?
I did a live stream on Twitch.
So you can't go back and rewatch it?
I don't know. I just don't feel like saving 24 hours of me playing a game and nobody else watching is really that entertaining.
Well, so anyway, but you can still donate if you want to donate to the Children's Miracle Network, which benefits our DC Children's Hospital. You can do that.
And also Small Angels is having... Yeah.
Small Angels Rescue.
Weren't they having some fundraiser going on?
Oh, they were having Forgiving Tuesday yesterday. I think it's over now because the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was matching donations on Facebook yesterday. But you can always still donate to Small Angels Rescue. They would love the money to help save the ratties and the hamsters, guinea pigs, gerbils, all that other good stuff.
Yep. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.